chapter 5 this morning, John chapter 5. You say you know what you're doing? No, I don't know what I'm doing. But I feel the Lord wants me just to go ahead and preach here. But John chapter 5, look at verse 16. Why don't we do it this way? Why don't we just play through one thing? Choir, won't you go ahead and be dismissed? And let's let you get out there. And let's all stand just real quickly. Just greet those around you. And I'll go right into the message here, okay? Right into the message while we let the choir come down. Be seated. Take your Bible, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, we hardly ever do this. I'm just trying to follow the Lord. So, Brother Mike, who is going to be singing, well, I would apologize to you, but I'm trying to follow the Lord here, okay? John chapter 5, look at verse 16. Therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day? But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man, that the Son can do nothing of himself, what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase in verse 18. It's the last three words of verse 18. It's the title of my message. We'll be in this all day today, this morning and tonight. The phrase, equal with God. Equal with God. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you, and Lord, we're trying to follow your will. And I pray, as you've led us to do this, that you will take full control of this service. Arrest our heart, arrest our minds. May we be drawn heavenward today. May we lift our eyes above this world and the troubles therein. And may we get a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ. Reveal yourself to us. Challenge us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we approach these verses, we're reminded of what has just taken place. We're preaching through this book, and we've preached up to verse number 16. And you go back and read the opening 15 verses, you'll find a man with an infirmity for 38 years was at the pool of Bethesda.
The Lord saw this man. The Bible says he knew all about him. And he began to speak to him. As a result of this man's meeting with the Lord Jesus, this man was made whole. However, you'll notice in context that the day that the Lord did this just happened to be the Sabbath day. The Jews were very upset because this man was healed on the Sabbath. And they asked this man who had healed him. This man didn't know who the Lord was at this particular time. And afterward, the Lord found this man in the temple and spoke to him again and revealed himself to him. And the man went back and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him and made him whole. The Bible says that the Jews persecuted Jesus and wanted to kill him because he had healed that man on the Sabbath day. See, the Jews had made the Sabbath into something that God never intended. They were more concerned about their own man-made rules than they were that this man that was infirm for 38 years was just miraculously healed. At this point, when they speak to him and they're accusing him and they're persecuting him and they want to kill him, at this point, the Lord Jesus begins to speak. And he shares what's called his own personal testimony. He begins to share in these verses, verses 16 all the way down through verse number 30, when he begins to speak in verse 17. And he begins to share who he is. And when the Lord spoke initially, the Jews understood exactly what he was saying. Because the first thing he said in verse 17, he says, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." And the next verse tells us that the Jews knew exactly what he was claiming. Because it says here that he was claiming that God was his Father, thus making himself equal with God. The phrase "equal with God" is what jumped off the page to me. You know what the word "equal with God" means? You know what the word "equal" means? It means as much. Making himself as much God. As much God. F.B. Meyer said, and I quote, "The entire sum and totality of the attributes of deity are resident in the nature of the Son of Man." Philippians 2:6 says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Make no mistakes about it, the Lord Jesus claimed to be God, and He is God. This is what's on display for us in this passage. The Lord's personal testimony of His deity is absolutely full of tremendous truths. Now let me say this to you. When you start talking about the Lord's personal testimony and everything He's saying here, there's no way that we can fully expound this passage. It's impossible. I went home this week while I was studying this passage and I told my beautiful wife, I said, "I am treading in deep waters in my study. There's so much profound truth here that we'll only skim the surface." I appreciate so much that Preacher Lashley's still with us and Mrs. Lashley's still with us. Mrs. Beatty sends her birthday regards to you by means of me. I'm a little bit delayed, but she sent me a text, so happy birthday from Mrs. Beatty. God bless you. And we appreciate these two precious people who are still with us here. Amen today, friends. I like it when preacher's got his own office back there, his door's wide open, and I go in, whether he likes to see me or not, knock on the door and just walk right in. I begin to counsel with him and talk to him. I appreciate that so much. I was sharing with him, just rejoicing with him about this passage, and he shared with me, I'm paraphrasing, saying, "Jody," he said, "we can't fully understand it all. But we can rejoice in that Jesus loves us." And as we go through this message, we're not going to get through it this morning. We'll continue with it tonight. I want to give you five or six ways. I don't want to look at it here. It's five or six. Maybe seven, but I think six. Different ways that Jesus is equal with God. He's God. You can't understand it all. You can't describe it all, but let me give you several ways that he gave in his personal testimony that he's equal with God in this, he's equal with God in this, he's as much God in that, and that, and that, and that. Here we go, number one. Equal with God, first of all, in works. We see this in verse 17. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In this verse, the Lord refuted the Jews' accusation against him breaking the Sabbath by saying that his Father works hitherto, and he works. It was this statement that the Jews knew he was claiming to be equal with God. Now, what was he saying? The word hitherto means until now. One man put it this way, interestingly, even the rabbis admitted that God's work, God, had not ceased after the Sabbath because he sustains the universe. Stay with me here. The point is, God did rest from the work of creation, but not the work of grace. And he did not rest from the work of mercy. Oliver Green said it this way, consider that the sun rises, the rain falls, the grass grows, the crops produce, even on the Sabbath. Think what would happen if God should cease to work for just one day. Think about this. The Lord Jesus was saying, as the Heavenly Father works continuously, helping others and showing mercy, even he is equal in that. As it's been said, there's no suspension on the Sabbath of works of benevolence and mercy. The Jews knew that he was claiming that his work was equal with the Father's here. He's saying that just as the Father has never ceased to do good, just as the Father has never ceased to let the sun rise and the moon set and the stars shine, no matter whether it's the Sabbath or whatever, he says, just as the Father works, I'm equally with him. My work is the same. Now you say, how do we apply this? What's that mean to us? It's a blessing to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father are continuously working and showing mercy to us on earth. Have you ever had a need and God stepped in and met that need? Do you have a need now that needs to be met? Thank God he's available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. What he's saying is from the works of mercy, the works of grace, God never rests. And Jesus is saying, I am equal with God. My Father works hitherto, and I work. He's saying, I never cease to help those in need. He's equal with God in that. But he goes on. Secondly, he's equal with God in will. We see this in verse 19 and verse 30. Notice this verse, because when you read it, you can misinterpret it if you don't rightly divide the word of God. Look at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Look at verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now you say, Jody, what does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus needs help to do things? Is that what he's saying? He's saying the Son can do nothing of himself. Does that mean he doesn't have power to do what he needs to do? No. When you study this out, friends, this is powerful. There's my word. When he said the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise, what does this mean? I'm going to quote Oliver Green. He was a decent preacher and a decent man of God. He put it well because he explains it, and then we may elaborate here. He says, this does not mean, however, that Jesus did not have the power to do anything. To be unable to do anything of himself is not a mark, right here, it's not a mark of weakness or inability, but rather a mark of the highest power. Now stay with me here. Nothing less than having power identical with the power of God, the Heavenly Father. Now get this. God the Father can do nothing apart from God the Son. And God the Son can do nothing apart from God the Father. Nothing can be done by one which is not equally done by the other. Since Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one in essence, yet they are three distinct members of the Godhead. Get this. The Lord is simply saying here, I can do nothing of myself. He's simply saying here that He and the Father are completely and inseparably one. What the Father does, He does. And what the Son does, the Father does. There is nothing the Lord Jesus Christ will do apart from the will of the Heavenly Father. It is impossible for Jesus to act apart from the Father. They are absolutely one in will. One man said it this way, it was this in the God-man which distinguished him from all other men. He never acted independently of the Father. He was always in perfect subjection to the Father's will. There was no will in him which had to be broken. From start to finish, he was in most manifest agreement with the one who sent him. His first recorded utterance struck the keynote to his earthly life when he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business." In the temptation, when assailed by the devil, he steadfastly refused to act independently of God. He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me," and this ever characterized His lovely service. And as He neared the end, we have the same blessed excellency displayed. As we behold Him on His face in the Garden of Gethsemane, covered with bloody sweat, as He confronts that thrice awful cup that He was about to drink, and yet He says, "Not my will, but thine be done." Even in verse number 30, He said, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." And I get this. Here's what He's saying. Of mine own self, I can do nothing. He's saying, I am so completely one with the Father, it is impossible for me to act outside of His will. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. Whatever the Son does, the Father does. Because they are one, my friends. Can I get somebody to explain that in depth? You can't do it. You can't do it. But it does mean this. God the Father's will is God the Son's will. And it means they do not act apart from one another. They act in unison. God working as one. Now before we move on, let us apply this thought to our lives. Let us not be stubborn and go our own way. But rather let us determine that God's will is our will. H.A. Ironside said, "The happiest man or woman on earth is the one who makes the will of God supreme." Whose will are you seeking? Yours or His? Whose will do you want to fulfill? Yours or His? Jesus the Son said He's equal with God, not just in works that they do. He does not cease from His works of mercy and grace, but He's equal in will, that whatever the Father does, He does, because He can do nothing of Himself. Everything He does is what His Father does. Do you understand that a little? Maybe not completely, but a little. That means they're completely one in will. What one does, the other does. What the other one does, the other one does. They are one in will. And that challenges me, that my will should be in subjection to His will. If I'm going to be like Jesus, then it will not be not my will, but thine be done. You know what that means? That means your decisions are already made. Do you understand that? If His will is your will, then all you got to do is find His will and your decision's already made. You know what that does? That simplifies your life. That simplifies it. Listen, it doesn't muddy it up, it simplifies it. By the way, he's promised to bless obedience. And what we need to do is find the will of God and do it. So we see equal with God in works. We see equal with God in will. We see, number three, equal with God in knowledge. Look at verse number 20 and notice the language. For the Father loveth the Son. Now notice this. And showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Now you say, Jody, what's the point here? What's he saying? Well, in this verse, he says his Father loves the Son, loves him, and shows him all things he does. All things. And he's even going to show him greater things. Now, let me ask you a question. Does anybody here know everything the Father does? Everything. He's given us what he wants us to know. But you and I do not know all things the Father does, friends. He's not shown us all things that he does. So the emphasis here is this. The Father has no secrets with the Son. There's no restraint between them. There is perfect intimacy. The additional word, showeth him all things that himself doeth, evidences another of the divine glories of Christ, namely the absolute equality of intelligence, knowledge, that there is between the Father and Son. Get this. What would be the use of discussing with an illiterate person the mathematics of the fourth dimension? Hey, I'm not illiterate, but don't even discuss that with me. I don't even know what it means. What's the value of taking a child in the first grade and showing him the solution of a problem in algebra? Or even somebody in college, or maybe even the pastor of Buffalo Ridge. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Who is capable of understanding all the ways and all the workings of God? Hey, he's saying he shows me all things. What good would it be if he couldn't understand it? There's no mere creature that would be capable of understanding all the workings of God. All that, I'm talking about all that the Father does. No mere creature could understand that. Fallen man is incapable of even knowing God, much less knowing all things about him. The believer learns, but gradually and slowly, and only then as he's taught by the Holy Spirit. Even the unfallen angels know God's mind, but in part because there are things they desire in 1 Peter 1:12 to look into. They want to look into these things. They don't have all knowledge. To whom then could God show the full counsel of his mind? And again, we answer to no mere creature, for the creature, however high in rank, has no capacity to grasp all the knowledge of God. The finite cannot comprehend the infinite. It is not, right, is it not self-evident that if the Father shows the Son all things that himself doeth, then he must be of the same mind as the Father? They are one, absolutely equal in intelligence. Christ has the capacity to apprehend and comprehend all things the Father doeth. Therefore, he must be equal with God, for none but God could measure the Father's mind perfectly. Don't you see that? God the Father, Jesus said, the Father showeth me all things. There is nothing about the Father that he's not shown me. The only way he could say that is if he's God, friends. That's the only way. He's saying, there's nothing God the Father knows that I don't. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I know all things. And my Father has shown me everything that he does. Now you say, Jody, how can you apply that? We applied, first of all, his works in that no matter what day of the week it is, his help is available to you. We applied his will in that we ought to submit our will to him, and now we're applying in knowledge here a couple of ways. This thought that that God the Father has shown God the Son all things that He does, and they're equal in knowledge. They know all things. A couple of things I want to give you here. The next time you think nobody knows, you say, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows the torture I'm in. Nobody knows. That is not true. That's not true. If nobody on planet Earth, or even outside of planet Earth, knows what you're going through, hear what the Son said. The Father showeth the Son all things that He does. There is nothing that God does not know about you. Nothing. We can apply this in a second way, that this is both a comfort to those who are hurting and a conviction to those who are living in sin. You may come in here today and your life's a mess. The devil tries to get you to think that nobody understands, nobody knows, nobody cares. This thought should encourage you that Jesus Christ is equal with God in knowledge. God knows all about you. That ought to comfort your heart. But if there's somebody in a crowd this size, no doubt. Now, do I know who it is? No, but the Holy Spirit of God does. In a crowd this size, you want me to think, put blinders on and think that every heart here is right with God? Give me a break, friends. There may be many hearts here that's not right with God. And there may be somebody here today that you've convinced yourself, nobody knows. I'm getting by with it. You're fooling yourself. Because the fact of the matter is, God knows. And Jesus is equal with God, which means Jesus Christ knows. He's equal in knowledge. 1 John 3:20 says this, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." You've heard this statement. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? That's an old statement. It's original with me. No, I'm kidding with you there. I don't know who said that, but it's a great statement because it's the truth. Nothing's ever occurred to God. Nothing's ever happened that God said, I didn't know about that. That is a comfort to me, friends, as His child, amen or not. But that's also convicting if I've got something in my life that I think's hidden from you because the all-seeing eye of God already knows all about it. Then we go to a fourth area. A fourth area in which the Son is equal with God the Father. This may be as far as we get. We may get to one more, I don't know, and save the final one for last. He's equal with God in honor. We see this in verse number 23. Read this with me now. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Now, the key words in that verse is even as. Read it again. All men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Now, that phrase even as means in the same way. The same way. My friends, the only way Jesus Christ should be honored even as the Father is if He's equally God. There's no man here that say, you need to honor me even as you honor the Heavenly Father. You say that's blasphemy, friends. That's blasphemy. I don't deserve the honor that God the Father deserves. Neither do you. But Jesus, in the inspired, infallible, and errant Word of God, says you're to honor the Son even as you honor the Father. This, outside of Him being God, would be considered idolatry. The word honor means to revere or value. Now think about what he's saying. The Son is to be revered as the Father. The Son is to be valued even as the Father. Anybody here have value just like the Father? Identical to the Father? No. No. So how can Jesus say the Son is to be honored even as the Father? The Son is to be revered and He is to be valued as much as the Heavenly Father. There's only one way. Is if He's equal with God. And He's equal with God in honor. The point is, you cannot honor the Heavenly Father and dishonor the Son of God. The only way to honor the Father is to honor the Son. H.A. Ironside, another decent man of God. I'm being facetious. What a man of God he was. He says, quoting him with this thought here. He said, one of the first grave dissensions in the early Christian church was the Arian controversy. Arius taught that it was unreasonable to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the eternal, uncreated Son of the Father. Arius maintained that instead Jesus, was the first created being and that He was not eternal. By the way, that is still being taught. And he taught that He was not one with the Father from eternal ages. This man was opposed by another man by the name of Athanasius, who maintained the truth that the Lord Jesus, whose goings forth are from everlasting to everlasting, was the eternal Son was the eternal Son as God the Father is the eternal Father, and as the Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit. That controversy disrupted the church for many years. But finally, at the Council of Nicaea, it was definitely declared that the Scriptures taught that the Lord Jesus Christ was one with the Father from all eternity. Now, for a century afterwards, it was disturbed by the same controversy. Even though it was said, yes, that's what the Scripture, for a century following, that controversy would still just kind of rear its ugly head. He's not God. He is God. No, He's not. He's equal. No, He's not. All these kind of things. On one occasion, Athanasius, the valiant defender of the truth as to Christ's equality with the Father, he was summoned before one of the emperors who had given his own royal son the honor of sharing the imperial power and sitting with him upon the throne. Athanasius bowed low before the emperor but utterly ignored his son, sitting on the same platform apparently, I guess in another throne. And the king said, "What? Do you pretend to honor us while dishonoring and paying no attention to our son, whom we have made the share of our authority?" Athanasius said, "And do you, sir, profess to honor God the Father while refusing to give the same honor to His co-equal Son?" And the point was a word fitly spoken. Friends, let me ask you a question. No, let me make this statement. If you want to know if you honor God the Father, how do you treat God the Son? Your mentality and your heart towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is identical to your heart and your mindset to the Heavenly Father. Because they are one and the same. Can't explain it. It's just what the Word of God teaches. You cannot honor the Father and dishonor the Son. It's impossible. That's why somebody says, "I don't believe Jesus is the eternal Son of God. I don't believe He's co-equal with God. I think He was created, but I'm going to heaven." No, you're not. No, you're not. Because He is God. He's equal with God. He's the Son of God. And you cannot honor the Father without honoring the Son. You dishonor Him and you dishonor Him. I can't explain all that, okay? But it's what the Word of God teaches. He's equal in honor. So I apply that with this. How much honor have you given to Jesus Christ? Then we close with point five today. We'll come back tonight with point six. It's the last point. It'll last a sermon, okay? we see that he's equal with God in life. Look at verse number 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, this verse shows how the Father and the Son both have life in themselves. One commentator put it well by saying, this means that life in God or existence is not derived from any other being. Our life is derived from God, because Genesis 2:7 says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, that is, a living being. All other creatures derive life from God. But God is underived. He always existed as he is. Explain it? No, thank you, I can't. He is not dependent on any other life. God is the source and creator of life. There's no life apart from God here or hereafter. Life is a gift from God. And the Son says in verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. One man put it well by saying, the tense of the verb carries us back beyond the beginning of time. We have life because we received it from our parents who received it from their parents. Life is not spontaneously generated. There can be no life without antecedent life. Life is the monopoly of God. All the abundant varieties of life we discern on this planet are His invention. Each form of life is transmitted by divine law, each after its kind, as is so emphatically declared in Genesis 1. But the life of the Lord Jesus has... I'm talking about the life that the Lord Jesus has is not like that life at all. The Father has bestowed on the Son the divine characteristics of having life in Himself. And what that means is eternal life, uncreated life. We cannot grasp the eternal dimension because we're creatures of time dimension. We express ourselves in three tenses. We say, I was, I am, I will be. God expresses himself, I am, I am, I am. Now, friends, I can't explain that, okay? I'm sorry. I'm typically not this deep, I guess, and so on, because I'm wading in deep waters here. I understand that. But what I'm trying to do is just rejoice in who Jesus is saying he is. He's saying, I'm God, friends. I'm the I am, I'm the I am, I'm the I am. Just like the Father knows all things, he showed them all to me. And just like he has life in himself, nobody created him. Nobody created me. Nobody did. He does not depend on anything or anybody for life. He's God. He is life. He cannot die. That's why God became a man. So in body, God could lay down life. That's why he embodied himself with flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. Why? Because God, as spirit, cannot die. Yet Jesus Christ, God, come in flesh, equal with God, knowledge, will, all of this came down to this earth, enrobed himself in flesh so he could breathe his last. God. Then he says, I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. Only God can make that statement. Only God can say, I will not die. You can't make that statement. I can't either. Because we are dependent on him. Our life depends on him. And if he says, dead, die, we die, friends. Nobody can look at God and say, die. Amen. God is life. And he's saying, as the Father has life in himself, he has given the Son to have life in himself. Psalm 90, verse 2. I think of Brother Cash here. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. How long are you going to live? As long as God wants you to. Amen. The Bible says in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 1, verse 4, in him Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. This truth that he is one with God, he is equal with God, he's equally God in life, should cause us to stand in awe of the Lord and to praise him for the life that he has given to us. Being alive, get this, being alive is an act of God. Being alive is God's grace and mercy to you. And having eternal life on top of that, I mean, he's life. We're alive because of him. And in verse 24, I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him and sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. Many of you have gone to that verse to give you assurance, haven't you? There's only one way that verse can be true, is if Jesus is who he says he is. You say, Jody, what's the point? You alive today? I'm not asking how much alive are you, but are you alive today? That's because he who is life, who has underived life, uncreated life, he's eternally God from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus is teaching here, I don't have a beginning. I have life in myself. Nothing can kill me. That's why he even said when he was getting ready to die, no man takes my life from me, but I willingly lay it down of myself. If you're alive today, and you are, you have enough to shout praise to God Almighty. Because without him, you never would be. Now you say, Jody, how are you going to conclude this message? I'm going to conclude it by just saying this. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. Who is he? He's God, friends. And he has God's mind, God's honor, God's will, and on we can go. And today, Jesus loves you. Amen, friends. Can we expound this passage in full where there's no other stone to be unturned and nothing else to bring out? No. But I trust that you're at least skimming the surface with me, that Jesus is equal God. He's as much God as his Father. And because of that, what he did on Calvary and being buried and rising again, and the word that he speaks, we can trust. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Only God can say that. And I'm glad in my heart today that one thing I do not struggle with is the Lord Jesus God? He is God, friends. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. I pray you'll help us today. Challenge us from your word. Help us to understand this truth. Speak to our hearts. And as we've shaken things up today, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll shake in our midst. Draw people to yourself. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to just play through softly. Today we are looking at the Son of God. We're going through this book that the emphasis of the book is that Jesus Christ is deity. He is God. He's not just a man. He's the God-man. There are two kinds of people in this world and potentially even in this auditorium, and that is those who know Him as their Savior and those who do not. Those who've trusted Christ as Savior and those who have not. Those who are born again and those who are not. Have you today say, Jody, I'm glad I know Jesus is God. I'm glad there was a day when the Lord spoke to my heart, convicted me of my sin, and I'm glad that I am a born-again child of God, not by my works, but by what He did. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting baptism. I'm not trusting good works. I'm not trusting my good life. No, I have placed my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and I know He's the only way to heaven, and I've trusted Him as my Savior. Have you know without a doubt you are born again? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. You know you're born again. Hey, is it not good to be able to raise your hand to that? Amen. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If you couldn't raise your hand to that, thank you for being honest. But today the Lord Jesus loves you. God who became man so that He could die for you loves you today. There's somebody say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that, but I'm going to be honest. I sure hope the next time somebody asks that question, I'm able to raise it with a surety. I could not raise it along with these, but I sure would love to be able to. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand now? Would you do that? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. And the day you say, Jody, I'm a child of God, we're talking about how Jesus works every day, 7 days a week. Boy, I need Him to come through for me in a certain area. You need to rejoice that He's available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or maybe God took the part of His will, how He's equal with God in will, and He's speaking to you about how your will has been a little bit insubmissive. You need to be more like Jesus by not doing anything apart from the Father. Or maybe God took the thought of not only His will, but His knowledge, and maybe the Lord is encouraging your heart because you feel all alone and nobody understands, nobody knows, but the Lord knows, He sees, He understands. Or vice versa, you might be a Christian that has something wrong in your life and the Lord is saying, I see it, I know all about it. Or maybe God took the thought on honoring the Lord and you just want to say, Lord, help me to honor You more than I ever have. Because I know I cannot honor the Father without honoring the Son. Or maybe God took the last part about life and how He's given you life. And how He's not dependent on anybody for life, but we're dependent on Him. And you just want to praise Him that you're breathing today. You have an opportunity to live life. That's a gift from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed you by allowing you to even live. Maybe you want to come and say, God, help me give my life to You because without You, I have no life. I don't know how the Lord's using this in your life, but if He's using it, let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, would You take this thought and use it in a mighty way? Help people to respond in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing, and if God is speaking to your heart, if you just want to come and praise the Lord as He sings, you come. Would you do it?
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and
they're playing through softly. You can look this way. This is C.J. Shores over here. He's 9 years old, been in our children's church. The Lord spoke to his heart today. He's been dealt with thoroughly. And today he told me, standing right down there, that today he has asked the Lord to come into his heart, forgive his sin. He's trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Have you happy for him? Would you say an amen? We're so thrilled for you, young man. God bless you. And I appreciate him being here so very, very much. And he came in on a bus. I'm not sure which bus it is, but praise the Lord for that. So, Brother Rourke, I appreciate you standing there with him. I'm going to go ahead and let you all be dismissed so you don't get tangled up in the crowd here. Hey, it's unusual to come to a Baptist church and not have an offering. Amen. That's okay. I felt I followed the Lord today. If you're planning to give this morning, come back tonight and give it. If you're not coming tonight, bring it next Sunday morning. We want to follow the Lord around here. Amen. I hope you feel the same way about it. If you're a visitor, please come back to be with us again. We appreciate you being here today. God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Dotson, sir. I know the Lord Jesus has been there for you and your family recently. Been good to be able to go to him, hasn't it? And I want you to dismiss us in prayer and just praise the Lord for who he is today. And you'll be back tonight. There's a last point that I want to give you. I trust it'll be a blessing to you, okay? Thank you.
Church and how they reached out in the life of